Welcome to the Dan Decker Books Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Decker. This podcast is dedicated to providing my books in full, unabridged audio format. Look for new episodes every Tuesday. Now, on with the show. Black Brick by Dan Decker. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Dan Decker Books Podcast. We are going to continue this week with reading Black Brick. But first off, here's a little bit of what we read from last week. Kurt's family is dead because you did not do anything, I said to Beltran. Beltran bit off a growl. Tone it down a notch or two. I knew nothing of the sort, but I did have my suspicions. That being said, I did not know enough to operate on. Anytime I send a team on a mission, I expect things will not go according to plan. So should you. That's a fancy way of saying you're going to continue to withhold vital information from us. Shannon was leaning forward, perched to attack. She'd never looked more beautiful. People have died today. We could have saved lives if you would have been more forthcoming. I will do as I see fit, Beltran snapped, raising his voice for the first time. This is bordering on insubordination. You've blown off your steam. Now it's time to get back to business. Oh, it is, huh? Cherry demanded. We all looked at her. It was the first that she had spoken. As I suspected, there were tear stains on her face. You should have told us Martinez was a traitor. No, Beltran said firmly, though his tone was softer. There will always be information that you won't have. Get some rest. We need to figure out what Martinez and Payne will do next and stop them. And now, 14. It was the first warm day in months, and the students of Kingstone campus were taking advantage of it. A group of people on the grass in front of the Lincoln Library were tossing around a frisbee, and there were a few ambitious girls sunbathing. It was warm, but it was not warm enough for that. Several women who walked by chatted animatedly. In the brief snippets of the conversation I overheard, it sounded like they were discussing a celebrity, but I did not hear enough to overhear who. Not that it would have mattered if I did. I did not know much about those sorts of things. I marveled at their energy. To me, they looked like kids, but I knew that they were the same age as me, if not older. How was it possible for me to feel like an old man when I was barely old enough to be in college? What would I have become if I had not been raised by the government? I headed into the library. I was not sure if I intended to get anything done, but I had to get out of Black Brick. It had been 2 days since the train incident, and I was going stir-crazy. Beltran had not even made us attend class, which I had been thankful for until I felt the walls start to close in. When I passed the lobby, I noticed Thor sitting at a table near the librarian's desk and decided to go to the second floor. I did not feel up to dealing with the man. I found an empty table in a corner and pulled out my tablet computer and set it down without turning it on. It had been a long couple of days, and I still could not tell up from down. The last week had been intense. Explosions left and right, people connected to Daigon dropping like flies, and hidden agendas everywhere I turned. Beltran could call it a test if he wanted, but that did not make it any better. When we'd been told that there would be a final test to become active, I had expected a hard mission that tested my personal abilities and limits. What Beltran was doing was testing my faith in him and in our organization. What else would Beltran be willing to do as a test? How far was he willing to go? Would he let people die? I was certain about only one thing. Payne and Martinez needed to be brought to justice. Turning on my tablet, I avoided the temptation to check the news because it would be focused on the train wreck. More than 25 people had died so far, with more deaths expected. My subconscious had somehow been able to accept the fact that the situation had not been of my own making and that I had done my best. This kept the guilt from overwhelming me. Yawning, I looked around the library and saw I was alone. Shelves of books towered all around me, providing me with the refuge and solace I sought. Shifting so that my back was facing a wall, I decided it was safe to open work-related material and review it. I needed to do something to keep my mind off the madness. The only way out was through. As a team, we had expressed interest in helping chase down Martinez and Payne. Beltran had refused our offer but given us Martinez's file to review. Make no mistake, you're not on this case, Beltran had said. But Martinez knows enough about us that it would be best if everybody kept an eye out for his meddling. I opened the Martinez file and began to sift through it. Snorting, I realized that much of the information had been redacted or password protected. Later, if I had time, I would try to get around the encryption on the documents. For now, I sifted through what was available. Martinez had been recruited when he was 12 after his mother had died in a car accident. That was not a surprise. All of us came from similar backgrounds. We'd all lost parents at a young age and never been adopted afterward. I guess Beltran had adopted us all. Did that make him our father? The thought made me shift in my seat. I hoped Beltran did not think of me as a son. I would never think of him in that way. I noticed the file called Activity Logs and tried to access it, but found that it too was password protected. I had been hoping to learn what Martinez had been doing the night that Andrews was killed. If he'd been using Payne and Kurt to get at Diagon, that made him our best suspect for the Andrews murder. Had he killed Gina to keep her from ratting him out? He could have killed us, but that might have drawn too much attention from Beltran. You made a mistake with Peck the other day. You know that, right? The statement broke into my thoughts like a cannonball diver at the deep end of a pool. I looked up into the face of the dark-haired girl that had been staring at me all semester. The tight pink sweater and jeans complemented her dark hair, and it was an effort for me to remember that I was already spoken for. "Excuse me?" I asked. The woman smiled and shifted her head to the side. She was holding several books, which she set down on my table. Without asking, she slid out a chair and took a seat. "Peck is going to call on you more frequently, just to see if you've done your reading." She smiled. Her white teeth stood out against her brown complexion. "Should I just call you Mr. Sheever, or do you have a first name?" I was uncertain what to do and hoped that Shannon did not decide to come looking for me. I had left without telling her where I was going, but she knew that when I went for a walk, I often ended up in the library. I was not sure that Shannon would be the jealous type, but it was always wise to be careful with a woman who made a habit of being armed. "Sam," I hesitated. It was only polite to ask her, but I did not want this to go on too long and let her get the wrong idea. "You?" "Chris Lee." She slung her bag off her shoulder and set it on the floor and leaned forward. "So, you're a history major. You gonna teach?" I hesitated. Was she stalking me? I was about to ask how she knew when I remembered that it had come up in class one day. "No," I said. "Just thought it would be nice to know something more about the world." "You?" She smirked. "I'm getting a real degree, marketing, with a sales emphasis." "You call that real?" I asked, smiling. Chris returned it. "I liked your suggestion about having politicians fight it out in a ring." The playful look on her face did not quite match the tone of her words, and she seemed nervous. I remembered what Shannon had said to me about this girl being out of my league. Well, Shannon was too. Chris was comparable to Shannon, at least on looks. "Why should our soldiers die to settle disagreements between government leaders?" I asked. "Politics becomes the ultimate reality TV show," she said. "Presidents aren't elected, but instead they fight their way to the top." Chris hesitated. "Wanna go grab a coffee?" I bit my lip. It was hard to reject a woman with a smile like that. Shannon had a nice smile, too. I just wished I got to see it more often. "Look, Chris, you seem like a nice woman, but I'm seeing someone." "Oh, you think I'm asking you out?" I could not decide if it was my imagination or not, but I thought she had turned a little bit red in the face. "I did not mean it like that. I have a boyfriend, but he hates talking politics. I was just hoping to chat." "Ah, sorry. How about a rain check? I'm working on a project right now." My phone vibrated. It was Shannon. "Nice talking to you, but I need to take this call." I was glad for the interruption because I did not know how to handle the situation. I almost preferred that Chris had come at me with a gun. If she had, I would have known how to respond. "Have a good night." Chris stood. "See you in class." I answered my phone and watched her leave. It had been a puzzling encounter, and I did not quite know what to make of it. "Where are you?" Shannon demanded. "Why?" I asked. "Your fingerprint turned up on the train. Your pistol?" I swore. In everything that had gone on, I had forgotten to tell Beltran that I had lost a pistol. Impossible. I had latex covering my prints. "How about the last time you cleaned it?" "Please," I said. "I follow the rules. Is my face all over the news?" "No. Beltran caught wind of this before it got too far. He's also managed to suppress a video or two from the phones of bystanders. We both owe him big time. Come quickly. He's changed his mind about having us work the Martinez case." Shannon hung up. So much for a quiet evening of reflection. There was no way that I'd left a fingerprint. I'd worn gloves the last time I cleaned it. I always did. I did not realize that I was sweating until I wiped my brow and pulled away a moist hand. Growling, I stood up. Martinez could have lifted my fingerprints before defecting. He probably had the fingerprints of all of us. Payne could have planted a gun on the train that led back to me. I threw my tablet in my bag and left the library. As I walked back to Blackbrick, I tried to imagine going to a study group or having the option of getting mixed up with a girl like Chris. It might be nice to date somebody who wasn't able to kill me with her bare hands. Try as I might, I could not picture that kind of life. That's it for this week. I hope you have enjoyed the show. Tune in next week for another installment of the Dan Decker Books Podcast. One last thing before you go. Sign up for my newsletter at dandeckerbooks.com, and you will receive a free ebook. The text, audio, and music for this show are all copyrighted by Dan Decker. All rights reserved. This podcast is published by Xander Revolutions LLC.